We have a very, very special program. The studio is filled with people that are going to bring you some wonderful information tonight. They are people from Disability Link, and that's D-I-S, small D-I-S, capital A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. And their names are Suki Glick.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Ashley Hawk.
That's right.
And Katie Johnson.
Yes.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to WRFG.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here with us tonight. Would somebody like to start out by talking a little bit about the formation of Disability Link and how it got started and the need that it fills, why it got started?
Who's going to start? Well, Ashley.
Okay, Ashley.
Just a little bit about it. We are an organization that is ran by people with disabilities, for people with disabilities, and we basically help any individuals who have a disability with independent living skills, help them with any transitioning. And when we talk about independent living skills, we're talking about a person might want to find a place to live on their own, or they might want to learn how to eat with a fork. It just depends on that person's own personal, their own personal goals. We also help with advocacy, peer support, and a little bit of, we help with information and referral. And that's basically any services that they might need that we are not able to help them with. We might refer them to another agency or center. You guys have anything to add to that?
Yeah, so we, actually, this is Katie, and we're running off of a social model rather than a medical model. So what we mean by that is we, anybody who is self-identified as having a disability can come and receive our services. We are not here to cure anyone of their disability, but we are working toward improving the environment so that people can live in the community and have accessible, you know, have access to everything else that anyone else, any other citizen would have access to.
And these guys covered it pretty well. We're a nonprofit organization, is considered a center for independent living, which is a little deceiving. We are non-residential. We receive our funding through state and federal grants. And they mentioned our five core services in order to be considered a center. It's, again, advocacy, peer support, independent living skills training, information referrals, and transition services. Transition is the newest core service. It's the baby.
How long has the organization been in existence?
Disability Link, for about 15 years. But Centers for Independent Living, the independent living movement, began about in the 60s. Mm. When folks with disabilities were trying to get out into the community and making their informed choices versus living in the institutions where they were wrongfully placed.
Okay, thank you. I want to hear a little bit more about the advocacy part. I mean, here at WRFG, we have a lot of people here that are very active in all different kinds of social movements. So what does the advocacy piece mean to Disability Link?
So, for instance, this year we've been working on a couple different pieces of legislation. I know I was really active with a program. I'm a case manager for a waiver that comes with Medicaid, and it helps people live in their homes instead of being in a nursing home. So they'll get aides that come in, and they also get supplies and services. And so what we were doing this year is we were trying to get a pay raise for those aides that were coming into the home, because some of them were making $8 to $9 an hour and doing very intensive jobs for the people that they cared for. And so we were at the Capitol. Actually, we were able to help advocate for a $3.4 million increase for 2017. So that was amazing. We've done a lot of advocacy work for MARTA accessibility, as well as post-secondary education equality, and making sure that anybody who wants to go to college is able and has the accommodations that are necessary.
And just to essentially, those are great specifics. And so as a broader view, advocacy can be on a systems basis or an individual's basis, mm-hmm. Depending on what the consumer wants to work on in changing and getting their voice heard in the community.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, that's perfect. That sums it up.
Okay. All right. Can one of you talk a little bit about, I think you hit on it, Suki, when you talked about people were basically being institutionalized instead of mm-hmm. dealt with in a way where they could live independently or with some assistance and in a whole different place, you know, the institutions were. Can you talk a little bit about what it would mean if you were institutionalized but was really able to live on your own or with a little bit of assistance?
I know from my perspective and folks listening in, I'm a person with a physical disability and can easily be considered institutional eligible level of care because mm-hmm. I do require support throughout my entire day. But I make all my own choices, and unfortunately folks feel that some people with disabilities that may need certain supports throughout the day aren't capable of making those decisions. Hmm. And so once being put into a nursing home nursing facility or an institution, then you lose that freedom, essentially. You know, you gotta have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with everybody, play bingo, and I don't like bingo personally, so but you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. folks are medicated, some that could be a thing, and it's not even necessary. Being able to make the smallest choices to the largest choices can make the biggest difference in not only quality of life but the fact that it's a human right.
So, can I add to that as well?
Please.
So part of my job and something I'm so very passionate about is having people able to participate in the community at whatever level is comfortable for them. So mm-hmm. a lot of times when we're institutionalizing folks, they don't have that option and that choice, as well as, I go into nursing homes on a regular basis, and even the nicer ones in the state are not places that you would ever want to put a loved one. Mm-hmm. So, we want people to be able to live in their homes, and even with severe medical needs, I've seen people live in their homes and have productive, healthy, happy lives. So mm-hmm. it's we are able to do that. There are resources there. We just want to make that the norm rather than the exception. So,
all right, thank you for that. Do you feel that? On your website, it talks about disability rights are civil rights and human rights. Mm-hmm. And can you explore that for us a little bit?
Sure.
This is Ashley speaking.
Yeah, this is Ashley. Disability rights are human rights. An individual with disability going into a restaurant or having access to be able to use, the restroom. I was talking with Suki yesterday. We were at a restaurant eating, and there are buildings where she would not be able to use the restroom because those restrooms are not, they would say they're wheelchair accessible, but they're not. They are not even, I can't even get in that restroom. So that's just a basic human right, just being able to go to the restroom if you want to go. Being able to go to the stores and shop that you want to go to, having the access to move around in any store or any restaurant. And I know that there are a lot of people that they don't participate in a lot of community events because it excludes them. The way that everyday living that I know that I take for granted because I don't have a physical disability. People with physical disabilities, they just don't have those same types of freedoms and choices.
And to add on to that as well, if you're lucky enough and live long enough, you're going to experience a disability at some time in your life. So it's part of humanity and human life, And, you know, we have 53.3 million people with disabilities, according to the CDC, in our country. And that's a population that's being excluded from participation. And we're all supposed to have equal access and rights to any form of life that we want. So,
promoting mm-hmm. yes, that. Do you think that, I'm sorry, did you want to say something, Suki, on that?
No.
Do you think society has become more aware of this question of inclusion and accessibility and all that than it used to be, or is there still a long way to go on educating the public and the businesses, definitely?
We definitely have a long way to go, but it has come a long way. I'm just thinking about technology and how much technology has progressed, so people are able to actually go have, you know, modifications so they're able to work, have modifications in their home so they're able to care for themselves in their own way. All of that has grown exponentially since the 70s. Kind of the 70s was when a lot of the advocacy started happening. We see the ADA and a lot of things of that nature, the OMSET Act and all of that, calling for deinstitutionalization, and that has a lot to do with polio being very common at the time. So I think that has really, we have come a long way, but we have a long way to go. I mean, just today we were walking to the station and, you know, you encounter these broken sidewalks. Yeah, sure, there's sidewalks. There's maybe a pole in the middle of them, so somebody can't pass. They have to go in the road, or the sidewalk's all broken up. So, I mean, every day, simple little things like that. As Ashley was saying, can't get to the restroom. Just, you know, we want everyone to be fully included in all parts of society.
And even with having...
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. All right, and you are back with Class Chronicles. Tonight we are talking to Ashley, Suki, and Katie from Disability Link. Ashley, you were going to say something before the break?
Yes, in regards to what we were speaking about before. I know that it should be just a part of life when someone needs to have an attendant for their daily living. Shouldn't be an option. It shouldn't be a person shouldn't have to go through hoops with Medicaid or Medicare to get services for their daily needs. When I go apartment shopping, there's automatically a refrigerator there. There's a bathroom there. There is a room. There are things that are just automatically there for my basic needs. And a person who needs an attendant every day for their daily living should not have to jump through hoops. They shouldn't have to make a choice about whether or not they can only have an attendant for an hour or 24 hours, or it's not even a choice that they make. They are mandated that based on some unrealistic expectations or goals or whatever, however Medicaid decides that they want to hand that out. But that should be one of the things that should just be automatically given. And that's another thing with just basic human rights as well. But that was just another add-on that I wanted to just to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to add something?
Let's talk a little bit about the programs that Disability Link provide. I've got a lot of questions I looked at all the programs on your website, and I figured there must be about 1,000 people working for disabilities and have all these programs. But let's break it down a little bit and talk at least about some of them.
Yeah,
the question of employment is crucial to everybody.
Yes.
And I believe a report just came out that said that out of the whole population of people with disabilities, about 34% are actually employed, as opposed to around 75% of the rest of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody talk a little bit about that and the reasons why?
I think that the reason for that is just not knowing what our rights in the workplace are. As people with disabilities may need accommodations, and you know how to ask for those things, and or even just entering an interview, you know, do I let them know that I have a disability before I, you know, while I'm on the phone, because they can't see it through that. Because, you know, sometimes it might hinder. Now, that's not legal. That's not okay, of course, mm-hmm. but it happens, right? Mm-hmm. And so the consumers that come to our LEAPS class, Locating Employment Avenues with Peer Support, that's our weekly employment class. When they come to that, they learn the skills to tackle that interview and make sure the playing field is even, mm-hmm. right? And how to get the job, maintain it, and how to excel in that position.
I want to speak on that as well. I mean, one of the coolest things about Disability Link is that we are about 80 to 90% run by people with disabilities. So we see that every day. And if someone's coming in to learn about how to adapt to their workplace, you're seeing people do that. Hmm. You know, the peer support aspect is extremely important, and it gives that example of what you can achieve and what you can be. So.
To be a center, we have to be at least 51% of our staff people with disabilities, and our board of directors is the same percentage, at least 51%. And like Katie was saying, we're about 80 to 90%, I believe. And it's cross disabilities, so it's not just folks with in wheelchairs or folks who have low vision disabilities. It's all types of disabilities, and we serve the same demographics as long as you live within the 12 Metro Atlanta counties.
Okay, there's also a health and wellness program. Mm-hmm. I know generally health is probably the top of my list in terms of issues. I'm getting a little older, but I think generally people are getting sicker and sicker. You know, I tend to say that people that are employed are being overworked, and people who are unemployed, you know, stress, both sides are like stressed to the hilt. And, you know, sometimes the food we eat isn't healthy, genetically modified. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kind of things going on. So to have a health and wellness program, I think, is so important. And tell us a little bit about what it is and how it aids the people that need it.
I think eating what we consume, however modified it might be, I think that's a common concern with the disability community and outside. So it's for everybody. But I feel with our program, we address more of, you know, how to do yoga. Everybody, yoga is huge, right? And I typically don't think that I would, or not every day do I think, oh, I'm going to go do some yoga. But our independent living specialist has a chair yoga for folks that maybe you're not going to do the downward dog or tree pose, but there's a modified version of that. And being able to do that with a group of other folks who might be intimidated by doing that at another session, you know, doing it with your peers, it just makes it so much easier, and you're much more motivated to get healthier and work on that.
Do you have outreach programs that, I mean, some people may not consider themselves disabled. I mean,
right.
I know, like hearing impaired people, sometimes you have some hearing, but you don't really think of yourself or that it's a disability, mm-hmm. but may tend to become more and more isolated, mm-hmm. you know, less social events, less mm-hmm. meetings, less things mm-hmm. that, you know, you would normally have gone to. So does Disability Link do any outreach?
Sorry, I just keep cutting these poor guys off. Sorry, y'all.
Everybody will have a chance.
Okay. So one of the other cool things about a Center for Independent Living is that we don't require medical diagnosis of a disability. As long as the goals that you want to work on are related to what you're saying is impeding on your independence or gaining independence, then we want to work on that, right? So, had a brain block for a second. Sorry.
it happens.
Can you ask that question like one more time? Oh my goodness, this is so embarrassing. Sorry.
Question of outreach.
Outreach, yes. So we're often in the community going to resource fairs and making connections with other folks that work with disability or other organizations that are disability related. And you know, setting up a table could be one way of outreach, you know, having just our brochures and everything, or doing fundraising efforts and going out into the community and sharing about what we're doing. And sometimes we'll wear our name tags on the bus or train, because I know I use MARTA to get to work and get everywhere, and I forget that my name tag is on. So people will be like, oh, what's that? What do you do? What's Disability Link? And so just telling folks about giving them their, you know, the elevator speech or the MARTA ride speech.
All right.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Who's next?
Well, I know that...
That's Ashley.
Yeah, sorry. It's Ashley. I know for me personally, I've just started. I've been there since November. But what I've done as far as outreach is I'm over the transportation program there. And me and one of my other colleagues has been giving me a little bit of MARTA training. We go out into the community, we go to different MARTA meetings, and we just like to do a little outreach that way and give a little information about what we do and how we can help as far as our transportation needs, which is kind of supplying a little bit of financial assistance to help get them to the doctor's appointments or get individuals to get individuals to be a little bit more part of their community and to be able to participate a little bit more. So that's how I know that I do a little bit more outreach and also fundraisers, of course, and we have a big one coming up. But yes.
All right.
So Katie? Personally, me and my job, people come to me. They get approved for my program, and I do the case management, so I get a nice call. But anytime that anybody, our information and referral, really, people will find us through 411 or 211, and they'll give us a call, and they're like, what y'all got going on over there? So we have a lot of, because we're Disability Link, we link a lot of the nonprofit agencies from around the state, and we get a lot of calls if these folks need more resources. So, for instance, today I talked to people all over the country, actually, about Medicaid and getting signed up in Georgia. So,
all right, great. Let's talk a little bit about assistive technology.
Oh, my favorite! Oh, I don't yay. Know. I don't know why.
All right.
I just got so excited. I'm probably not going to share it very well, but oh wow, assistive technology. Well. Right now we have a location in our office, a toolkit that has various types of what's considered assistive technology, that it's devices that help folks with disabilities to gain the access in their home or wherever they want to use that device and gain that independence. So a wheelchair could be considered a piece of assistive technology. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I just use like a pencil with a pen tip at the end and a pen cap,
what?
A pencil, and just use the eraser to dial my phone. And you know, that's a simple piece of assistive technology. So that technology can, you know, be extremely expensive or as cheap as something you find on your desk, you know, and you throw it together, as long as it works for you. And you know, it's individualized for the person's needs, and that was really redundant. But glasses are considered assistive technology, and there's so many, excuse me, there's so much out there. I think today I just found that a new SUV has come out to become accessible for folks that use wheelchairs that has a ramp that pulls out, and, you know, like the vans that they have, the minivans. Mm-hmm. I'm 27 years old. I don't want to be riding in like a soccer mom van. So when I get my vehicle, woo-woo, I'm hoping that it's either, you know, a truck or an SUV. Uh-huh. Right? So we can also range from something as simple as a different shaped grip to open your jar. Hmm. Right? And I remember growing up using, they tried to get me to learn how to cook, and I had this board with nails in it, and they were clean. Don't worry about it. And you just stick your apple on there, and, you know, because I don't have the best dexterity, but if something's holding the thing that I'm cutting, mm-hmm. and then I can hold the knife and the other two, my free hands, mm-hmm. you know, then it worked for me, right? Mm-hmm. Do y'all?
So saying that, I mean, a lot of it is creativity. I mean, we are a nonprofit. Nonprofits don't have a lot of money, and people with disabilities, you know, it is an underrepresented class that doesn't have a lot of the economic power. So the creativity of little things mm-hmm. and being able to modify your environment in ways that aren't expensive is very important to make sure that people can live happily and securely.
Okay, let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to Class Chronicles on WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information and handpicked music. The time is 7:30, and we again are speaking with three lovely people from Disability Link, Katie, Ashley, and Suki. I got everybody right this mm-hmm. time.
Yes. Yes. Awesome.
Did you want to add anything to that question, Ashley?
Well, I'm a little bit more new to the world, even though I have been a person who's identified with a disability, just didn't know it. I've got ADD. But as far as assistive technology, I'm still kind of new to it. So as I'm here today talking about it with these guys, I'm still learning new stuff too. Mm-hmm. But even with that, there's all types of learning just finding out later on in life that in college I could have had, you know, a note taker in college. Like, who knew that? But anyway, there's even some software that I just found out that helps you organize a little bit better. I can't remember what it's called, but it's all these little new, like, things that I'm kind of learning as I'm getting more involved in this world. But, yeah, kind of awesome. Anyway.
And the great thing about technology now is that I know, like, laptops, I use a dictation software, because typing, I don't type at the average speed. It's pretty slow. But I use dictation software where, as I'm speaking, I could type this entire interview. Mm-hmm. And that's becoming much more it's becoming standard now in new technology. Like, it's on our phones, our mm-hmm. netbooks, and, oh, it's phenomenal. And I'm really excited that, like we were saying earlier, working on the social model versus the medical model, our environment is becoming much more inclusive than the person having to go get evaluated and finding out what it is that they need to do to fix themselves. Is that, you know?
Hmm. Other programs. Somebody mentioned the transportation. Who's doing that?
Oh, I am. Yes.
That's you. Okay. So Ashley.
Yes, Ashley. But yes, I'm doing the transportation program. And what we do is we are not a program that is indefinite or forever. What we do is we supply options for a year. We give you a certain amount of funds for that year. So you get up to $600 for up to a year. And you have the choice of using your own provider, using one of our providers that we contract with, using just MARTA, or whatever your choice. That's another thing about options and how you want to achieve your independent living. And that's one of the ways that we help you do that. And we are actually in the process of trying to develop plans with our consumers to help them find options after they are no longer eligible to receive funds for our program. We're actually getting another grant coming really soon in June, so we're going to get to do some more stuff as well. But that's what our program does, and there's actually a few more programs that I found in the Metro Atlanta area where if you couldn't get into our program, I'd be able to get you that information.
All right.
Go to our website.
we will get to that in a little bit. Do you think that, like, the public transportation here in Atlanta, I know it's really developed over the years, but it still hasn't expanded very far out
yes.
to suburbs and things like that. Do you think there's an accommodation to people with disabilities? I mean, does MARTA really understand what the needs are, and are they acting on it?
That is a complex question with a big answer.
Definitely an issue that we're all working on.
Yes. They do accommodate to an extent. There's MARTA Mobility, which is a service you can call and schedule an appointment with MARTA, and they'll pick you up and take you to your destination of choice. But with that, there are some kinks that are trying to currently be ironed out. I don't know if I should go into that. Yeah.
Go ahead. As we were saying earlier, that yes, we have come so far in getting the equal access and everything, but there is still so much to be done.
Yeah.
So paratransit, yes, like Ashley was saying, MARTA Mobility is great. It's the door-to-door service that they have per eligibility, you know, and you go through this application process. But the reliability, not so much. Yes. And that wasn't a soundboard. That was me, guys. not so much, you know. But also the fixed routes and fixed line. What's great is if you are paratransit eligible, you ride the train and bus at no charge. And you didn't hear it from me, though. So,
at no charge.
Correct. So, if you, on the back of some Breeze cards, there's a P. If you have the P, it means you are a paratransit. You can call MARTA Mobility, make your appointments, and you pay that rate per trip. But, like myself, I use the fixed route at no charge. So I know it's about, what, $250 a ride? Mm-hmm. And so I just go to and from work, and I still use mobility, though, because there's some locations that I'd never been to, and I want to make sure that I know if it's accessible or whatnot, because not everything is right by a MARTA stop. So the fixed route, as I was saying, yes, it's accessible, and it's not only accessible to people who use wheelchairs, but there are, you know, in addition to the ramp, you have the audio accessibility for folks who are blind or visually impaired, and they have to acknowledge the stops, and not stops, but the intersections, I believe, and the stations that you're at, and what direction you're going, and what route you are on. And so that's one. Another, for folks who are deaf and hard of hearing, we have the LCD marquee on the side of the doors, on the side of the buses, that will state the routes, the route number, what's its end location. And so if those aren't working, which unfortunately happens, it does definitely limit the person's access. And I've oftentimes have had to miss a bus and wait for the following because the ramp was out of order and maybe they didn't mention it to somebody.
Oh, wow.
You know?
And then, too, kind of thinking on a macro level, most of that is accessible in Atlanta or Fulton County. But outside of that, in the rural areas where it's needed most, people don't have that access. There are some paratransit services that you can get to and from medical appointments, but other than that, you don't have a ride unless you have the money for a $40,000 modification to your car.
You have to rely on a program, like a voucher program from a nonprofit
organization. For sure, for sure. And those funds are very limited, obviously. Yeah. You know, at our agency, we currently have a 200-plus waiting list, and we just can't accept more people onto that. So there's definitely a great need. And in Georgia, in the South, actually, we have a higher rate of individuals with disabilities. So we are, and there's a great need that is being overlooked, I think, in a lot of ways.
Suki, did you want to say something? Okay. This question of eligibility, I'd like to explore a little bit. If it's based on income, a lot of times I think you have to be on a certain level of the poverty level, federal poverty level, to get some kind of assistance. There's a whole strata of people that may not, maybe just a little bit above, and get denied some kind of assistance. Is there anything how would you approach a question like that? You know, what would you recommend to people that kind of are not quite in that category of, you know, economic, you know, poverty that, mm-hmm. that they would be eligible for.
You need
some
it,
of the
but
programs.
You can't quite. You just barely missed the mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've fallen in that many times.
Yeah, so unfortunately, in that circumstance, I mean, especially here in Georgia, we have to rely heavily on churches and nonprofits, and you may not be able to get the governmental assistance that you need. And it's an unfortunate yeah. situation that we face. So that's calls we get every single day, and try and help people navigate their individual lives.
And, you know, a general services of what we do and how we operate, being a nonprofit, you know, there's no cutoff, you know, there's no eligibility as far as that's concerned, as long as, again, you all are people with disabilities seeking the services and looking to or have the self-determination to pursue personal goals related to what you're saying is your disability and impeding on your independence. That's what we want to work on with you and support you with. Granted, we don't provide the financial supports, but we'll do our best as long as you're willing to work with us on finding those resources. And so centers for independent living are not only based in Atlanta, but there are about 300, I believe, all across the nation. So
okay, that's good to know. We do have a listener that's called. Oh, we don't have a listener that called. Well, we'll take calls. In a few minutes, I want to talk about a few more of the programs at Disability Link. But we will take calls at 404-523-8989 in a couple of minutes. Now, the question of youth, I think, is something that, you know, I'm really interested in, because I think youth try so hard to be independent. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just a given. You get a certain age and you wanna mm-hmm. get out there in the world. What's the program offering?
So Disability Link is an organization. We serve all ages and cross disability. The youth program is more specifically meant for the consumers between the ages of 14 and 29, and that's considered transition age. So you're going from high school into post-secondary options, or, you know, answering that question, what do I do from here, right, after graduation. And some folks, they stay in high school beyond their graduation date to get the skills and supports that they need or they might want. And that's considered a free appropriate public education. So they're able to graduate, I believe it's age 22. And I should know that. So yes, it's 22. If it's not, I'm sorry. but what we provide is basically what does that person want to work on. And it's hard to find yourself as a young person when your parents want to be there. And I get, yes, you want to be supportive and helpful, but for the disability community, the parents sometimes are
overprotective,
more supportive. Yes, overprotective a little bit, and want to keep their child safe, right? And I know personally I didn't learn anything as much as I do know now from being safe. And I know folks without disabilities who, again, learned a lot more from not being safe. Going to school, going to college, sometimes, you know, I've had a consumer call and say, I want to live in Kentucky, and, you know, calling from Georgia. Sweet. What do you want to go do? Let's go do it. And their parent goes, that's not going to happen. I don't think that's okay, you know. And it's unfortunately the fact that there isn't knowledge of all the supports that are in each location, right? How can my child be supported, and you know, their health care, how's that going to be covered? Their safety, yes, and there could be a little more vulnerability that comes into play? Will my kid make friends? And how will they excel at school? They don't advocate for themselves in high school, you know. Well, maybe they don't, because maybe they don't have that space, that safe space to say, this is what I want. Because I know, out of respect, people with or without disabilities try to let their parents take over because, you know, you feel that they know best. So we try to work on that. Transition, that's the key word there, transition. Whether you're going from high school into post-secondary options, college, technical school, or university, or employment. Right? Some folks and some of their peers are going directly into employment. So wanting to do what their peers are doing. Driving, is it, like I mentioned earlier, assistive technology is going into SUVs now, mm-hmm. and driving is even more appealing, mm-hmm. right? But again, unfortunately, the guardian sometimes says, no, that's not, that's scary, you know? So my goal as a youth independent living specialist is to show how not so scary it might be, right? And each scenario is different for everyone, but it's definitely possible. And as long as we can get those supports out in the community, then everyone, disability or not, deserves to be in the community of their choice.
And you are back with Class Chronicles. We were talking about the question of youth. I was just wondering, do they meet together at Disability Link, or I'm just interested in the interrelationship between the youth themselves. Do they learn from each other how to kind of weave their way through society, or what their needs are, or do you deal on a one-on-one basis?
So both. Actually, depending on what a goal could be, let's say I have a few folks that want to learn how to ride the train and bus, right? We've gone out in the community and tackled that as a group. And you know, you see how each consumer would help one another out. And yeah, it started off with me saying, hey, this is Marta, this is how it goes, you know, be careful, you know, all these fun things. But by the end of the day, it's, you know, you see the consumer saying to each other, oh, we should totally hang out, and, you know, and scheduling a session, or not a session, but a hangout, to go to the movies or something, and trying to figure out what that would entail. What MARTA stop do they need to get off, and how much money maybe they would need for their card, because maybe that person doesn't have mobility, you know. But there's a lot, currently a lot of individual goal setting and goal achieving, but that doesn't mean that there can't be group sessions.
Okay, great. We're winding down a little bit on time, so I want to make sure that we talk about the fundraiser that's coming up for Disability Link.
Ooh, yes.
Who wanted to talk about that?
Thanks. They just passed me the mic.
You're the chair. You're the planning committee chair.
Team, and we've been beating those payments together. We've been getting it. Right. So the fundraiser is a comedy show. Last Comic Standing, we will have our comedians come up, and we're going to do a battle of jokes and see who wins. We have Josh Harris, who is hosting our show, and he is from Bill Bellamy's Who's Got Jokes and NBC Stand Up for Diversity. It's going to be an awesome night. If you want to know more about our show event, you can go to disabilitylink.org. If you want to donate or anything like that, find out more about tickets, disability.org /donate. It's going to be an awesome event. I want to see you all there.
And all of the programs that we had talked about today or this evening, the proceeds go to supporting that. And because I mentioned we are nonprofit, and funded by state and federal grants and some lovely grants that we find throughout the year. But it's opportunities like this that if you're interested, please come be a part of.
So the date for that is going to be April the 23rd of this year, and it's going to start at, we'll open the doors at 6:30, start at 7. We're also going to have a silent auction. Yeah, we're getting some art donations, so if you guys have art donations as well, we're looking for those. And
all ticket holders get 10% off at Marlowe's Tavern, which is next door, so...
And, yeah, we'd love to see you guys out. And like we were saying, it's going to help support. It's going to help us get more resources for Disability Link. We can expand our programs and just have a great year again. So,
okay, we do have a listener that's called in. Hello, you're live on the air.
Hello, I've been listening the past hour to this information. This is great to hear this on a major FM station. My question is... what do you all think about MARTA? There's a MARTA it's a $4 ride for people who have a mobility disabilities, and they have a yard for their vans over near 14th Street and Howell Mill. What do you all think, what's going to happen with the letting go of dozens of these drivers by the MARTA government at Lindbergh?
So I'm assuming what you're speaking on there is the privatization of MARTA Mobility. It was privatized about 20 years ago, and that program ended for whatever reason. But they're doing it again. Right now, MARTA Mobility is very poor about getting people to places on time. It has like a 75% accuracy rate, which is I think there's currently a lawsuit against them.
Yep.
Through the ADA, and hopefully privatization would increase that. Obviously, we don't like our public works to be privatized, and we can see abuses that could possibly occur. But I know, just watching my coworkers who use mobility wait sometimes for 2 and 3 hours to get home from work, and sometimes have to sit outside. We try to avoid that as much as we can, but you know, in the cold or in the heat, it can be very problematic. We have one of our volunteers who, if she's overheated, could have a seizure, and oftentimes she is left waiting for MARTA for 2 hours. Luckily, we're all in the office then, but hopefully she would never have to be outside. She couldn't take the bus.
And so, it's important too, when things like that happen, that everybody go out and advocate, and you call that MARTA 1-800 number and you complain. And I know that I hear a lot of different complaints about, you know, MARTA riders who get so discouraged when it just things continue to happen, the bus continues to be later, or they call and say there's not a bus en route, yet they did call. They called that morning and made an appointment. They scheduled an appointment for that bus to come pick them up. It is so important, because I know that you don't always see people, you know, behind the scenes advocating, but, you know, there are people at Disability Link advocating for you all. So it's important that even when you're discouraged, please continue to call and make those complaints so we can make changes and we can improve the system.
Really quick as well, representation on the MARTA board would be awesome. I think that would bring us, currently MARTA's got a subcommittee or something that's about disability rights and advocacy, but basically has no power. The people who are on that board are appointed by MARTA themselves, so it's basically one hand feeding the other, and nothing's actually getting done. So we're hoping for some more representation.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for that wonderful question. I mean, the rule of thumb around privatization generally means that the quality of service goes down, but they couch it in all this, oh, through privatization, it'll be more business-like, more corporate. You know how bureaucratic the government is and all this and that. So many, many things and services are being privatized, and this is the result. You know, the whole parking fiasco, yes. The list just goes on and on and on. So I really appreciate the answers you gave around the question of MARTA, which is so needed. And we had a ear shifter here for many, many years that was blind, and he had to use the service and would be waiting and waiting and waiting. It was just horrible.
It's sad for people
through. Who it really is.
Who depend on that as their only means of transportation.
He would end up walking home.
Yeah. It's extremely unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, I would love for you to give the date and everything for the fundraiser coming up and the website, and if you have a phone number you can give if people would like more information.
So our gala, our fundraising gala for the year is going to be Saturday, April 23rd, and it's going to be a comedy show. It's doors open at 6:30, and the show starts at 7, and then we will be at the Doubletree by Hilton in Northlake, 4156 La Vista Road, Tucker, Georgia.
Email address, you can email me. This is Ashley, if you have questions. I know sometimes email is easier. ahawk@disabilitylink.org. That's ahawk, spelled just like the bird, H-A-W-K, at disabilitylink.org. That's the easiest way for people to remember it.
And if you have any general questions or anything about Disability Link or in our programs, our phone number is 404-687-8890.
Okay, thank you, Suki Glick, Ashley Hawk, and Katie Johnson from Disability Link. Thank you so, so much for being with us here on Class Chronicles tonight on WRFG. And I hope you will come back soon and give us some updates and more information, because we only went over just a couple of the programs that you have at Disability Link. So we're going to talk about all of them next time, okay?
Awesome. Sounds like a plan. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. Stay tuned for Peach State Festival.